In your Bibles, we're in 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Good coaches have an intuitive understanding of when to push, how hard to push, when to prod, and when to encourage. And they say of Vince Lombardi that he was one of those coaches that had that uncanny ability with his players to know when to do that. There was a game in which the Packers lost under his leadership, and the players were all scared. They had not played a good game. They suffered a difficult road loss, two fumbles in the game. A punt was blocked for a safety. And if you know football, it just was not a good game. And those players got on the plane, and they thought, boy, coach is going to rip into us. And he didn't. He actually encouraged them and gave a pep talk that, man, from here, we're going to move forward. They got home. He took all the players out for a turkey dinner, and he encouraged them. And when we read through 1 Peter, in chapter number 2, we keep hearing that word submit. And that's pushing and that's prodding. And that's always hard for all of us to hear to some degree, right? Our flesh just fights against submission. And man, it's submit to government and it's submit to husbands and it's submit to masters, even bad ones and all that. And then we get to chapter number 3, and it's as if the Holy Spirit knows that balance between pushing and prodding and when to encourage. And we studied verse number 8 last week. And in verse number 8 of 1 Peter chapter 3, we understood that there's really something that we need to focus on in the midst of suffering. And that is how we treat one another. And we learned those five qualities in verse number 8. I'm not going to re-preach them tonight, but having compassion, being of one mind, loving his brethren, being pitiful, being courteous. And if you didn't get that message, it's online, and try to just describe those things because that's God's expectation of us, how we're to relate to one another. Then he goes to verse number 9, and he says this. He says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. And here, the Bible is assuming that the people that Peter's writing to are receiving evil, and that they are receiving railing. And so here Peter is dealing with how not to relate to one another as brother, and not just that in verse number 8, but also how to respond to hurt in your life. Because they would be experiencing hurt at the time at which Peter was writing. There, Wiersbe said this. He says, as Christians, we can live on one of three levels. I think this is really good. We can return evil for good. He calls that the satanic level. Somebody does good to us and we return evil for it. He says we can return good for good and evil for evil. He calls that the human level. Somebody does me evil, I'm going to do them evil. Somebody does me good, I'm going to do them good. Or we can return good for evil. He calls that the divine level. In our lives, when responding to evil that's coming our way, when responding to hurt that's coming our way, when responding to criticism that's coming our way, Peter now gives us how to respond to those situations in life. Turn over in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and I ask you this question tonight. I wonder recently if somebody has treated you in a bad way. Because if you have felt that way about some situation in your life, then guess what? God, through His Spirit, has help for you tonight in how to respond to hurt. Look at Romans 12, verse number 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome. What are we talking about there? We're talking about being affected, being dominated by something that comes our way. overcome by evil. But don't be that way, the scripture instructs us, but instead overcome that evil with good. Wiersbe says that's divine level. If you look at verse number 17, he says, recompense, Romans 12 now, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil, providing things honest in the sight of all men. Could I say this tonight on the authority of Scripture? Resentment and revenge are not Christian deeds. They paint no picture of God to anybody. And Peter is encouraging these believers. Man, as far as it relates to brethren, there's a way to treat one another. But there's also a way to respond to hurt in your life. And he gives us some instruction here. On one side of the coin, we are not to recompense evil for evil. And on the other side, if you go back to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, not only are we not to dish evil back, but we're actually to do contrarywise, is the word in the text. We're actually to give blessing back. Huh. You ever been at a job and you needed to switch days off? And you went to somebody and you said, I really need your help. You know, I've had this come up and I'm looking for somebody to take my hours, and listen, I'd be willing to flip with you. And they give you a cold no. And then in your mind, this flash thought comes through. You ever had it? Wait till they ask me. Right? Just not that you're going to respond that way, but that thought passes your mind. Did you know that when you're in a hurting position, did you know that the first thoughts we think about is returning evil for evil? Human flesh response, right? Peter's trying to help us to get to the spirit response, the spirit-filled response, and that is in actuality, not just withhold revenge, but give blessing. Preacher, in verse number 9, what's blessing talking about? It means speaking well of those who speak ill of you. Ooh, that's not easy to do. Speaking well of those that speak bad of you. Showing kindness to those who show evil to you. Did you know that according to verse number 9, you and I as believers are called to this? Look at the verse carefully, if you will. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called. We are called to bless those that do wrong to us. That's unique. Don't know if you've ever realized that calling in that perspective before, but that's what the Bible's teaching us here. He wants us to bless those that do harm to us. Turn back to chapter 2, 1 Peter 2 and verse number 21. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 21. Bible says, for even hereunto were ye called. There's that word again. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And in that context, what the Spirit of God is telling us is we're called to endure or develop patience in the midst of our suffering. But in chapter 3, we're called to bless those that hurt us in the midst of our suffering. Do you know of anybody in Acts chapter 6 and 7 that might have practiced this? Deacon preached, they gnashed upon him with their teeth. Stephen. What did Stephen say when his enemies were stoning him? Do you remember what he said in that passage? Lay not this to their charge. Would you consider those words a blessing? I would. Would you consider stoning evil and harm? I would. Would you consider Stephen following God's example and the scriptures? I would. You say, is it possible, preacher? It's possible. We have Bible examples of it, don't we? We're called to bless, but notice also in verse number 9 that ye should inherit a blessing. Did you know that when you choose to bless someone that's done wrong to you, you also are setting yourself up to receive a blessing. Or God says this, God says, I keep track of the boomerang rule. You bless somebody that has done you evil, done you harm, has hurt you, and God says, I'll make sure that blessing comes back around. You'll inherit the blessing. We are called to bless, but we're also called to inherit a blessing that comes with that divine action. Think about this. Through Christ, God blessed those who sinned against him and were his enemies. And that includes you and that includes me. So if Christ did not live out what we're being taught to live out, do you understand that you and I do not have the blessing of eternal life or heaven or the righteousness of Christ or spiritual freedom or access to God in prayer? We have none of it. Unless God practiced what he preached in the scriptures. And thank God he did. He took his son and gave him so that enemies, us, could be reconciled to him so that we could be blessed. That's a blessing. Dear Christian, if you're having a hard time putting into practice what I'm teaching and preaching right now, spend some time on the thought that God blessed you when you were an enemy through his son, Jesus. We're blessed because of it. And so we are called to this response. Secondly, I want you to not only see our relationship to hurt or relating to hurt, how we're to respond to it, but secondly, we are to release heart issues. In times of suffering, we are to release heart issues. Look at verse 10, if you will. Verse number 10. For he that will love life and see good days. How many of you would like to see good days and love life? Anybody here like that? I like to love life. I like to see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. In order to love life and to see good days, we have to refrain our lips. I wrote down in my heart, in my notes, I should say, if you're going to refrain your lips, you must refresh your heart. That's in marriage. Those of you that are married, if you're going to refrain your lips, you have to refresh your heart. That's why Malachi said, take heed to your spirit, that you deal not with one another treacherously. I have to refresh my heart in my marriage towards my mate to do that daily, sometimes multiple times during a day, if I'm going to refrain my lips. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaketh. If my heart is corrupt towards somebody, what's my mouth going to speak? Not good things. Not good things. And so if I'm going to love life and my mouth is corrupt, those two don't mix, is what the Bible's saying. I can't love life. I can't see good days and not control my tongue. If I want to love life and I want to see good days, then I have to refrain my mouth. If I have to refrain my mouth, I have to refresh my heart. Question. How's the refreshing of your heart going with your boss this week? I had a meeting the other night. And it was a little bit, maybe didn't go quite the way I thought it was going to go. You know what I've been dealing with this week? Refreshing my heart. Because if I don't, things on my tongue are not going to be good. And what about in your sibling relationships? How's your lips? How your lips are will tell you how your heart is. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Turn over to Psalm 34, if you will. Psalm chapter 34. He says we have to refrain our lips from evil. That means doing harm to somebody with my words. And we have to refrain our lips from guile. That means misleading someone. You say, preacher, is it possible for me to use my tongue to actually mislead someone? It is. Have you ever used your lips to try to get somebody on your side in a situation? I'm guilty. What is that? You don't give the full story because you want them to see your side of the story? That's misleading. Okay? Here's a child, a parent asks a question. The child tells a partial truth to free himself a little bit and misleads mom and dad that he's not the one that is fully guilty. All right? Well, I didn't lie. I just didn't tell the whole truth. What you did was you spoke guile. You misled. All right? It says, in order to love life and to love days, have good days, we have to refrain our lips from speaking guile. Now, in Psalm 34, look at verse number 12, because really Peter is referring back to this chapter that David is writing. He says, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. You know, in David's life, as we look a little bit of background here and bring David into this picture, you know that in David's life, he was a refugee with Saul, wasn't he? Meaning he was on the run a lot. Okay? We were over in Israel, had the opportunity to be over in Israel back in 13 or 15. We saw where he was hiding, out in those caves and all that area. And just thinking of being out in the middle of nowhere and feeling, man, if Saul's army gets back in this area, I'm trapped. I got nowhere to run. David's living in those kind of circumstances. And so he sought to flee the country, if you remember, at one point. And he went over to Gath. Do you remember that point in David's life where he crossed over into Philistine territory, into Gath? Good decision, bad decision. Bad decision. Real bad decision. And while he's over in Gath, he thought, maybe I have a little escape route here. But he actually went from the frying pan into the fire. Because now he's with the Philistines, and he's dealing with the Philistines, and they're about ready to find him out. And what does he do? He acts like he came out of a nut house, doesn't he? Spittle. He's going mad. He's acting like a crazy. David, in Psalm 34, is writing about that and saying, if you're going to love life and you're going to have good days, refrain your lips from guile. You know what David was? He was looking back at that and saying, how foolish to put myself through that and to be somebody I was not. And he writes about that in Psalm chapter 34, pretending to be somebody that he wasn't. My friend, we don't love life and have good days when we're living that kind of life. The instruction here for us is in these times of suffering, we need to understand, we need to be reminded of, we have to release heart issues. And when we release heart issues, we refrain our tongue. Now, question, somebody help me. Give you a verbal opportunity as we end up the message tonight. What was the heart issue that overcame David when he was in Gath? To become somebody he wasn't, to act like a crazy. What dominated his heart? Fear. Right? When fear of man and fear of circumstances dominates our heart, do we love life and have good days? We don't. David was writing Psalm 34 and saying, man, how stupid was I to let fear absolutely control and dominate my life to where I became somebody that I was not. And I I portrayed guile. I misled the Philistines. Of course, that turned out to be a mess in his life. And fear needs to be released. It may need to be released in your heart tonight. Anger at times needs to be released, or it's going to come out here, isn't it? It's going to come out in evil words. I'm going to harm somebody. All right? Jealousy may need to be released. Bitterness may need to be released. Brethren, in times of suffering, we don't need to pick up any extras in our heart. We need to be about the business of refraining our lips and refreshing our hearts. That's the instruction from Peter tonight. In verses 9 and 10, you want to love life. You want to have good days. Then you refrain your lips and you refresh your heart. And if you grab that truth and you'll keep your heart, man, get that out of here. It's like you go, man, I want that plant to grow. I don't want that weed to take all the nutrients from it. Get that weed out of here. So we get the weeds out of our heart and the right things can grow in them. And when the right things grow in them and our hearts are full of the fruits of the Spirit, guess what? You love life, you have good days. And you can have good days in the midst of suffering. What's it boil down to? It boils down to your heart. Refresh your heart and refrain your lips. Father, we pray.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.